Rav Ashri, in the fourth volume of Shelos Tshuvos Mimamakim, Shela Tes, deals with the following question. He introduces, first of all, a little bit of background in order to explain the event that took place. He mentions that each day 1,000 Jews from the Kovno ghetto were taken out to intensive and very harsh labor in the Shdei HaTufa, some kind of airfield, and the work there was under terrible conditions. In addition to that, there were groups of people, in groups of about 20 or so. They were in some kind of, they called it the brigades. And this kind of work was hard, but it wasn't quite as hard as those who were taken off, the thousands were taken off to the airfield for the much more difficult labor, and they also had access, these brigades, to better food. And people, first of all, tried to, if at all possible, to work in the brigades rather than to work in the much more difficult labor. Those who worked in the brigades would also try to set aside some food and smuggle it back into the ghetto in order to provide for family and friends who were living under very harsh conditions and had next to nothing to eat. So there was a certain individual by the name of Moshe. He was an only son, and he would try to bring back from his work in the brigades a little bit of food for his mother, who was sick, and she relied upon him to bring back food in order that she'd be able to survive. This individual, Moshe, what he would do is he would put a kind of piece of cloth around his neck, and he would say that this is something that he needs because he has his throat is hurting him and he has some kind of cold, and he would hide a piece of bread underneath the cloth that he would wrap around his neck. Now, there was one time when they came back from the work and they were entering into the ghetto that a German who was in charge of the brigade, he said that he was going to search everyone. When he got to Moshe, he suspected that something was underneath this cloth that was around his neck. He found the bread and then began to beat this man, Moshe, mercilessly. He said that he fell on the ground. It was a nace that he didn't die from the terrible beating that he took. And he particularly focused upon beating him and hitting him in the neck where he was hiding the bread, and as a consequence his vocal cords were permanently damaged, and he was not able to speak normally. He says it was very hoarse and very low voice, so that it was very difficult for people to be able to hear what he was saying. This Moshe was also a Kohen, and the question was posed to Rav Ashri, could he duchen, because the sources in the halacha indicate that the Kohen has to duchen in a voice that can be heard. So Rashi turns to the source in the Gemara in Sota, Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. We have a brisa that says, Kosev Arachu, it says they shall bless, the Kohanim should bless Klal Yisrael, B'kol Ram. It has to be B'kol Ram. And then the brisa clarifies that the words Emor Lahem, later on the pasuk, indicate ko'adam she'omer lechavero. It has to be the way that somebody would speak to one's friend. And in fact, we find in the Shulchan Aruch this pasuk in lahalacha in Siman Kuf Chav Ches Sif Yudalid, ein mevarchin ela b'loshen hakodesh u'ba'amido v'nesias kapayim u'bekol ram. One of the stipulations is that the birkas kohanim has to take place. Various different conditions. One of them is it has to be b'kol ram. It has to take place in a loud voice. And the Mishneh Berurah there discusses this, and the Mishneh Berurah, we're going to come back to this, but the Mishneh Berurah first of all quotes a position from the Pri Chadash, quoting from the Sifrei, one of the Medrashi Halacha, that really the entire Tzibur is supposed to be able to hear. That Sifrei says that everyone should be able to hear, and therefore if you have more people, then the person should speak louder. And then the Mishneh Berurah discusses specifically the scenario of Misha Kolo Tzarud, if a person has a hoarse voice and he can only speak quietly. V'tov she'yetzei kodem ritzei. So it seems obvious, as the Mishnah Berurah, that that's not the koram, that the person can only speak quietly, and therefore the person should not participate in the Birchas Kohanim. And the halacha is, when a kohen, for whatever reason, is not going to participate in the Birchas Kohanim, he should not be there for ritzei. Ritzei is considered like a time when the kohanim are, in a sense, invited up, and all the kohanim have to go up, and therefore he should go out before ritzei. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Obviously, this would present a very significant problem, for this individual. And then, however, the Rav Oshri, as we're going to see later in the Tshuva, Rav Oshri is clearly looking for a makom lehakel for this individual. He's going to explain this very clearly later in the Tshuva, that this individual is in a very difficult situation. It was traumatizing, this beating that he took. And therefore, from a psychological, emotional point of view, from a spiritual point of view, it would be very, very, very difficult for him to also live with the fact that he is disqualified from Birkas Kohanim. So Rashi raises an interesting question. First of all, in terms of the issue that we mentioned before, that according to the Sifrei, apparently everyone has to be able to hear. The Sifrei says, "Emor lehem shiu kulam shomim." That's what the Pri Chodesh quoted, and the Mishnah Berurah quoted that. Is that, it would seem that everybody has to hear. If you have a large shul, you have to be able to speak loud enough for everybody to be able to hear. Rav Oshri raises the following very strong question. Famous Gemara tells us that there was a shul, a Beis Knesset, in Alexandria of Mitzrayim, and in Egypt, and it was so large that they would not be able to hear the Shliach Tzibur. And then famously what they would do is they would wave these kind of flags, and that way people would know when to answer Amen. So what would they do for Birkas Kohanim, asks Rav Oshri. So apparently this indicates it's a very strong raya that it's not absolutely necessary for the entire Tzibur to be able to hear, as would seemingly be indicated, at least by the Sifrei. And in fact, it would be necessary only that you would have a Tzibur, as he puts it, you would have a minimal number of people who are standing closer to the Kohanim, who would be able to hear them. And that way, that's considered to be Birkas Kohanim, even though the rest of the people don't necessarily hear. That's not one clarification. So apparently, Rav Oshri is arguing that we don't necessarily paskin like the simple understanding of the Sifrei, that everyone should be able to hear. It says in the Sifrei, "Shiyu kulam shomim." Again, the Mishnah Berurah quoted that the Pri Chodesh cites this Sifrei. Rav Oshri is arguing that that's difficult based upon what this shul, Alexandria of Mitzrayim, of Egypt, and therefore you don't have to have everyone hearing. Then he also goes a little bit further and quotes from a sefer of Shelos Uchuvos, Pri Eitz Chaim, who was also asked a similar kind of question about someone who became ill, and as a result it damaged his vocal cords, damaged his voice, and it was difficult for people to be able to hear him. So, in this Shelos Uchuvos Pri Eitz Chaim, he raised the following question. Does it mean, when it says that you have to be able to speak, as the Gemara says, b'kol ram, and not b'lachash, so does that mean that you really have to be able to speak normally? Or, maybe, it doesn't mean you have to be able to speak normally, it just as long as it's not b'lachash, as long as it's not silent. Even if the voice is a relatively weak voice, as he puts it, it's b'kol namach ma'od, it's a low voice, but maybe that's considered still fulfillment of the requirement of the person is heard. And as the Gemara uses the expression ka'adam sha'omer lechaveru, sometimes a person speaking to a friend speaks quietly, so maybe even a low voice is considered to be valid and is considered okay for Birchas Kohanim. In his Sefer Shelos Uchuvos Pri Eitz Chaim, he's not sure about this. He presents the Safek. And Rav Oshri, we're going to see, based upon the Safek alone, even though he thinks that this is something that is a very strong, it's a very strong basis to be able to be making in extenuating circumstances. Rav Oshri also notes along the way that there's a machlokas as to where the Birchas Kohanim is Minat Torah nowadays or Midrabanan, and therefore, given the possibility they're only dealing with a din de Rabbanon, he thinks that there's more reason to be makil. So Rav Ashri then gets to the latter part of the Tshuva. It's on page Ayin Aleph and onwards. And interestingly enough, because based upon the sources that we've seen up to now, you know, if you take the simple reading of the Mishneh Berurah by way of example, certainly there's the position of the Pri Chadash, which is even more machmir, that everybody should be able to hear. Mishneh Berurah says if a person has a low voice, that's certainly a problem. But nonetheless, Rav Ashri, based upon what we discussed now, says that he thinks that in this circumstance, we certainly should be makil for this individual, as he puts it at the top of the page. It's permissible for this poor, unfortunate kohen. We don't want to, in a sense, afflict him twice. In other words, he already went through this terrible event, has suffered and is suffering enormously, and then will compound the problem by preventing him by prohibiting him from participating in Birkas Kohanim. He says we can't do that to him. And then he explains the next paragraph. He says from that point onwards, in the second paragraph on this page, the second line, he says that this person suffered enormously, emotionally, psychologically. He smote it to atzavav. He became very, very nervous. This person became exceptionally anxious. He describes how he would wake up in the middle of the night. He would see himself being beaten. He would wake up and he would scream in the middle of the night. And he would be shaking. And then he says, we're going to cause this person, if we would prohibit this person's... push him over the edge. He says it will cause he smote tus gemura shel atzabav uli ibud shivui mishkalon haruchani. His whole equilibrium will be undermined, and consequently, he says again that number one, let's rely on the view that Birchas Kohanim is only a derabana nowadays. So he thinks that that's one reason that there's more of an element of flexibility. In addition to that, and this is the from the Priyetz Chaim, that Kodem Shomer Chaveiro, that it's sad to say in Halacha, Kodem Shomer Chaveiro, that's the expression of the Gemara, that sometimes you speak quietly to somebody else. Maybe it doesn't have to be literally Bekol Ram. Maybe Belachash, as long as Belachash is there are sounds coming out, is somewhat audible, maybe that's considered to be sufficient. And he does note that it would require, at the end of this page, at the beginning of the next page, he mentions that some of the people should be able to hear. He seems to indicate that maybe you should have at least 10 people listening carefully. He doesn't say that clearly, but it seems to be indicated that maybe you should have 10 people who can hear the individual, even quietly. And therefore, he says that the person should dochen, he should participate. Towards the end of the tshuva, he says that this person will obviously have special kavana when he says, Yivarecho Hashem v'yishmerecho, which means that Hashem should protect Klal Yisrael. He says that this person will obviously have special kavana, that Hashem should guard Klal Yisrael, Mizaru shel Amalek haGermanim, from the descendants of Amalek, the Germans, Ha'aruim Yimach Shemam, that Hashem should protect them from the hands of the Germans who were afflicting and persecuting and tormenting the Jewish people so terribly at that point in time. So this is Rav Ashri clearly is looking for, under these circumstances, despite it not being easy according to Halacha to be Mekil, but he found sources which indicate that there is room in Halacha to be lenient under these very extenuating circumstances, and therefore he says this Kohen would be able to dochen.